So we were wondering, what's Paul Reiser been up to? He's still probably best known for the 1990s TV show Mad About You, where he played a documentary filmmaker newly married to Helen Hunt. Legendary comedic talents like Carol Burnett, Carol O'Connor, Mel Brooks made guest appearances, but the main focus was on their relationship.
I just really, really love you.
I really, really, really love you.
Why must everything be a competition with you?
Well, as it turns out, Paul Reiser keeps his toe in film and TV, but he's returned to stand-up. And this week he's publishing a Kindle single, sort of a long essay, that taps into memories of his time on Mad About You and the lessons he learned from the comedic greats. It's called How to Get to Carnegie Hall, and Paul Reiser joins us from NPR West with more. So how do you get to Carnegie Hall?
Practice wouldn't kill you. Practice is the joke.
But your son did not know this joke?
You know, that was the kickoff to this little piece was my son asked me some question. Well, how do you sell? And I said, practice. And he looked at me as if he had never heard that joke. And I went, how can you be my child and you never heard how to get to Carnegie Hall practice? And I realized it was an interesting little kickoff to this piece because my son was graduating high school and I felt I should be able to give him some words of advice. And the idea of practice is something that I resisted as a kid. And as I've gotten older, I've come to see the value of it in everything, in writing, you know, going back to stand up. I think I'm doing it better than I used to, and I'm writing better than I used to. And I think I'm working harder at it and enjoying it more. There is something very zen and purposeful and mindful about slow and methodical practice.
Well, in this piece, it's actually very sweet. You share the experiences that you had with these just the greats in show business and your observation that they, in fact, were always practicing. Start with Neil Simon. You found yourself watching him on the set of a film.
Growing up in New York, I was very aware, as a 14-year-old, 15-year-old, I remember Neil Simon was just a huge cultural presence. I remember at one point he had four, maybe five plays simultaneously running, which is unheard of.
Just name some of Neil Simon's great works.
Well, Neil Simon, The Odd Couple, and The Prisoner of Second Avenue, and in films, The Goodbye Girl. And I did early 90s, maybe 89, I did a movie called The Marrying Man. And so one day on this set, I was watching some downtime, and I was sitting and watching him. And he had a little tote bag with a couple of legal pads, three or four, and he just was thumbing through it and jotting things down. And it suddenly hit me. He's writing. He's not writing a letter. He's working. And I asked him about it, and he said he was working on four or five different things. And he said, it never comes easily. He goes, here's a great idea. And then I kind of hit a wall. So I put it away. I put it in my drawer for a few months, pulled it out. And then I just play with it, move it forward and see if the muse hits me, see if I get inspired. If not, I put it down. I pick up the other one. And I thought, oh, this is fascinating. Because, you know, we pedestrians, you look at people and go, well, I guess the Beatles go into the studio and they write 10 songs and there's a great album.
Lightning hits them and it comes out the other side, right?
Yes, and it comes out and it never does. And it was a very simple little lesson, but it was great to see it in real time unfold and watch him do it. And I had, on Mad About You, we had the great fortune of having legends, and you know, all the people that we grew up idolizing, Carol O'Connor and Carol Burnett, Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner, of course, and more than almost any other part of the experience was the great memories of watching these people up close. And they never, these are people, you know, that certainly had earned the right to walk through anything or phone it in, and they never ever did. They worked diligently, way past what you would expect, and that would cause you to raise your game. You know, well, if these guys are going to keep on working and struggling to get the line perfect or to find the perfect little piece of physical business. It was a very inspiring thing to witness. And it made sense. These people became great and memorable, not by accident.
Oh, as you write, perhaps another word we could use would be practice.
Practice, exactly. Yeah. And it was fun to put these down and write these down. They're all tiny little things that to some people might not be as exciting as they might be to comics, you know, to witness
these things.
Oh, for instance,
if I could just jump in, how Johnny Carson subtly moved his arm once so that you could make a joke better.
I was doing a bit about how people touch you, and when they're talking to you, some people are a little touchy-feely, and they like to grab your arm, and Johnny Carson, among his other great skills, was a terrific straight man, and he knew, as a host, he sensed that the joke I was about to tell would be demonstrated better if I could lean on his arm. And his arm was in the wrong position. So instead of just sliding his arm across on the desk so it was closer to me, he casually scratched his face, reset his arm 4 or 5 inches closer to me.
Perfect.
And it was right there.
Yeah.
He made that work and knew what was coming, and it spoke volumes to me about his talent and his generosity, too.
Carl Reiner appeared on Mad About You as Alan Brady, the same character from the Dick Van Dyke Show. Now, on, this is an egotistical boss, and he stayed in character on Mad About You. Let's listen to this scene. The two of you are meeting at his favorite restaurant.
Mr. Brady, how are you, sir?
What are you doing?
What?
What are you doing?
I was just sitting.
Where?
Right here.
Where?
At your table.
Where at my table?
Right here.
Where?
In the chair.
What chair?
This chair.
Whose chair?
Your chair.
Aha!
I was sitting in your chair. I'm so sorry.
I would think so.
He did one episode, and I remember there was one little problem, that something was troubling him that he couldn't even articulate all week. And what it was, in the show, in character, I made some reference to Sid Caesar. I said, look, Mr. Brady, if you don't want to do the job, don't worry about it. We'll get somebody else to be on our show. I'll get Sid Caesar. And of course, that was to appeal to his vanity. He went, all right, I'll do it. So something in that rubbed him the wrong way that he couldn't quite put his finger on until the last minute. He said, wait a minute. You said you're going to get Sid Caesar, and you called Sid Caesar, but then I said, I'll do it. I said, yes. He goes, well, that seems like we're kind of, sticking it to Sid Caesar. I went, no, my character never called Sid Caesar. He goes, yes, but I don't know that.
So Carl Reiner, and by the way, he called you late at night. He woke you up when it finally figured this out.
Yes, he called me. He said, I got it. I figured it out.
So Carl Reiner did not want his egotistical character, Alan Brady, to offend Sid Caesar in a completely fictional
yes. And I kept scratching my head going, wait a second, Carl. And I thought, is he a step ahead of me or behind me? I said, Sid's not on the show. He said, I know, but within the show, you make reference to Sid, and I don't want it to look like we, stabbed Sid Caesar in the back. I went, oh, wow. I thought, not only is he meticulous, but what a mensch. He didn't want any kind of negativity flying out. And I thought, wow, that is really commendable.
Well, I want to ask you, Paul Reiser, you have written this piece for Kindle about the comedy greats. There's stories about Mel Brooks and Bill Cosby. What do you think about the fact that there's a whole new generation of comics who don't ever step on a stage? They're doing it all by themselves on the internet. Do you ever worry that stand-up will become sit down and type?
No, I think there's something wonderful and eternal about it. You're still going to reach out. You're still going to need moment of actual eye-to-eye contact, words speaking to people. It gets harder, and there is certainly a generation now where you have to knock the screen out of their hands and knock their device. I see it with my kids. I went, put down whatever it is, and let's see if you can be off a screen for an hour. Let's try that. But yes, I think there's an organic need. There will always be a need for performance, live performance.
Well, we'll link listeners to your tour, but also you would like them to pick up the screen for...
Yes, let's not belittle the screen entirely.
For your Kindle single out this week, How to Get to Carnegie Hall and How the Greats Have Practiced. Paul Reiser, thank you.
Thank you.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.